You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. It's my pleasure to welcome back Jessica Madoff Bunchman into our studios. Las Cruces, and very popular in many shows here recently in Annie Get Your Gun, and now back for a role in the El Paso Opera's La Boheme. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you so much.
So let's talk a little bit about La Boheme, which is one of the most famous operas by Puccini. It means the Bohemians. And the Bohemians in the sense of these poor, starving artists. If ever there was a place where the starving artist living in a garret got its stereotype, it was from this opera. And it's an opera about love and jealousy and art and cold and death in the end. But very popular. And I want to hear your words about La Boheme, if you just had to make a very concise description of the opera and what it means in the music world.
Certainly. Well, in the music world, it is absolutely one of the probably top five most performed operas globally. And it is one of my favorites, not only because it has good repertoire for my voice, but it's a beautiful story. And more importantly, I think the music is just so well enhances the strife and joy that these people experience. It is called The Bohemians, and it is about a group of friends, about a group of male friends who live on the very tippy-top story of a very small apartment building in Paris. And one is a writer, one is a philosopher, one is a musician, and one is a painter. And, you know, sometimes opera can feel very distant from our reality, but in my lifetime, I've known four guys that do those things that all live in a really low, rundown apartment who have girlfriends, just like the two females in the show. So I really try when I get into a role to really associate with the reality of my life or our times. And I feel like, you know, most opera is timeless. And I really feel like this opera absolutely fits into our day. Then the two women in the opera are Mimi and Musetta. And Mimi comes, and she, unbeknownst to the guys, is very ill. And Musetta is one of the girlfriends already of one of the other gentlemen. And in operatic style, of course, Mimi and Rodolfo fall in love in the first, 8 minutes of the show. And they're in love forever. And that's that. She comes in and her candle, she needs help lighting her candle. And there's great debate onto whether she blew out the candle herself so that she would have an excuse to spend more time with Rodolfo. But so they fall in love. And throughout the opera, we watch their love story, as well as the love story of Musetta and her boyfriend, Marcello, the painter. And throughout the course of the show, we realize that Mimi is very, very ill. And she wants to leave Rodolfo because she wants to save him the pain of having to watch her die. But they choose to stay together in the hopes that they will be able to see spring together again. And sadly, spoiler alert, in the end, she does pass away. And then my character, Musetta, is kind of the firecracker. If there were comic relief, she would be that. She is the
saucy.
In a sea of gray, she is the purple and the red. Mm-hmm. And she and Marcello have a very fiery relationship. They break up. She gets with someone else. He gets mad. They get back together. And in the end, she is redeemed because, like most humans, despite our, flaws, we are all genuine at heart. It's just takes us a while to get there. So it's a lovely, lovely show. The cast is incredible. We had our first rehearsal and we just busted in and sang through the whole thing. And David Grabarkowitz, the director, said that he is most happy and wouldn't change a thing. So we feel a little pressure with that because we certainly do want to be the best thing ever. But I think that with his guidance and with the conductor that we're working with and the wonderful company that is El Paso Opera, it's going to be quite a show. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud to be a part of it.
Now, let's just talk about a little more about Musetta, this sort of saucy girl, and what are the challenges as a singer in her? She has a very famous waltz.
She does. She has a very famous aria called Quando Men Vo, which I was watching a TV show the other day and I heard it in the background and they kept on looping it. I kept on hearing the same part of the song over and over and I thought, well, okay, that's a creative way to use the music. As long as opera's being used, I don't care how they use it, as long as it's still in the world. But yeah, it's a very, very, very popular waltz. She is a tart, I suppose. But it's very interesting in opera. I feel like with popular operas like this in particular, we kind of generalize and put these people into stereotypes. And as a singing actor, to me, it's very important to get away from the stereotype. Like I said before, every one of these characters is based on a human. And the book about the Bohemians was about these people. And then the opera was then translated from that book, and Puccini breathed his life into these people.
Yeah.
And they're not just notes on a page, you know, they're humans. And I feel like a lot of times in all of our lives, we've been risque, or we've been indecisive, or we've been scared. And I think Musetta is all of those things. She's very much in love with Marcello, but they're also very poor. And she goes and is kind of like the arm candy, for lack of a better word, to this Viscount. And in her big famous song in the middle of Act Two, she walks into the Café Momus on Christmas Eve, where everybody's having dinner because she knows she's going to see Marcello. And she's all dressed up in this lovely gown that he's bought her, and has a puppy dog usually. And she desperately is trying to get Marcello's attention through throwing a fit because he's not paying attention to her normally. So she wants to make a point. And so while people think she's just being bawdy and annoying, she's really just desperate for love. And I feel like everybody can relate to that. We just all go about it in different ways. And this just happens to be her way to go about it.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about these characters as people, and to want to break through this sort of, you know, the tendency is to romanticize these characters. That's what we think, when I said at the beginning, if ever there was a model for the starving artists in the garret. But that, of course, makes them just two dimensions. And when you said you know people who live these lives in New York, it's a grittier, real life.
Yeah.
And when you really think about them as full and multidimensional people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I feel like, you know, in the show, Musetta's not necessarily an artist herself, but the concept of these people being young and striving for their best life despite the odds, I think that is something that everybody can relate to, whether they're artists or not. You know, you want to make the best life for yourself. If you want to have a family, you want to find the right person with whom to do that, and the means by which to make them healthy. And so I feel like each of these characters has their own agenda, and these guys happen to be artists using their art as a way to live their best life. And even if they're going to be broke, they still are passionate about what they do. So it's, for me, especially because I am an artist and I do struggle with these things on a daily basis, it's very real to me. You know, they don't want to give up on their dreams, so they're going to make sacrifices. And it is romanticized, I will give you that, for sure. But it's a beautiful story. It really is.
Have you ever sung this role before?
Never. I'm very excited.
So when did you start learning the music?
Well, I've been singing the aria, Quandam in Voe, for years. I feel like I actually did myself a disservice by learning it too young, when I really didn't have my. I feel like singing is very athletic, and sometimes people, teachers, and not to be hurtful to the singer, but we push our students past what maybe they should be too early, like asking a young person to run a marathon. Maybe just be on the track team. Don't be a marathon runner. Just build your muscles. And that's very much like the voice. You have to build the muscles and get the coordination right. So I've been singing the aria probably since high school. But I started working on the role itself probably like 6 months ago. I would translate the words, because I do speak Italian, but not fluently. So I want to make sure I know exactly what I'm saying and exactly what everybody else is saying, so that we can react. Because acting is reacting, but in opera, when you're singing in a foreign language, adds another level of complication when it's in a foreign language. So learn what everybody's saying, and then learn my music, and then get it into the body, like a sport. So.
Are there super titles?
Yes.
So let's shift gears for a moment, because first let me announce that the performances of La Bohème are with the El Paso Opera April 10th and April 12th. But before that, you're having a performance here in Las Cruces called Jessica and the Bohemians,
yes.
A very personal and personalized evening of singing. And I just love the idea that it's really taking that idea of these Bohemian artists who would hang out in cafes and cabarets, and sort of modernizing it. And tell us a little bit about
Absolutely.
This one-night show, which will be tomorrow evening here in Las Cruces.
The first portion of the show is going to be featuring some of the young artists from El Paso Opera who have been traveling around El Paso and Juarez doing a truncated version of La Boheme called La Novela Boheme. And so they're going to do a portion of that to get everybody excited for the show. And then the second portion of the concert is going to be my husband, Michael Bunchman, and I performing our cabaret show called The Truth About Love and the Usual Lies. And this is an original cabaret that I wrote with a colleague from the University of Michigan, actually, years ago. And we actually did it once here. I don't even know what year that was, 2005, maybe? And it was the first time we'd ever done it. We did it at the recital hall. We didn't quite know what we were doing. We were just, but we knew we needed to give it a try and put it on its feet, and we did. And when I married Michael, who is a pianist, I very gingerly asked my other collaborator if he wouldn't mind if Michael took over as the pianist, because then we could make the show more about a couple's path and journey as opposed to just me and a pianist. So Michael and I have been doing it for about 5 years together. We've done it all over the country at different cabaret houses and at universities and at opera houses, and we've just had such positive feedback. So I'm really excited to get to do it in Las Cruces again. It's an hour long. It's a journey, a woman's journey through the ups and downs of love and all that goes along with that. The truths and the lies that we're told about what it's going to be like when you're a child to fall in love and fall out of love. And it's just a little classical music, two art songs, maybe three art songs. And then the rest is popular, like the American Songbook kind of music, and old musical theater all the way up to the most modern musical theater. We have a song from Avenue Q, and we also have some Bernstein. So it really runs the gamut. The thing about it that I've always find so fascinating when we perform it is afterwards, we don't provide a program. We don't provide a list of songs because we want you to just listen and experience it as it comes to you. And oftentimes people ask us if we wrote the songs because we're telling a story. And we're very flattered that you think that we would be so gifted as to write these songs. But it's kind of a hodgepodge that we make into one story.
Yeah, I remember seeing it way back when, and it does. You are telling a story and using all those different lyrics from different songs from vastly different places to tell that overarching story of love.
I love texts and the words, poetry. I think from my background in the theater and my dad being a writer, I'm very much married to the written word. And when I look for music, I generally read the text first and just assume and have faith that the composer is only bringing more life to the text by adding their music. So, yeah, words are important, and there's a lot of them in this one.
And who wrote the text? Because you do speak in between.
Yeah, we have dialogue, banter, I call it. I did, Michael and I, mostly myself. And it changes. We basically say the same things and give the cue line that's necessary for Michael to know to start playing the piano, but I love being in live theater. It's really one of the most special things that I've ever done. And an hour on stage with just me and Michael is one of the most pleasurable hours I spend. And having the audience there and working with them, and every night's different. And I love it.
So this is interesting because you get to have that more popular songs and a cabaret style performance tomorrow night, and then a couple of weeks later, La Boheme. So we're getting to hear many different Jessica Madoffs in terms of your talents and capacities.
I love musical theater, and I love being able to mix the genres, you know, do a little bit of musical theater with a little bit of classical music, because I feel like a lot of people, including myself, may be daunted by heavy classical music or the concept of having to sit for an hour quietly and pay attention to one person spill their heart out. You know, not everybody's up for that. So I really love this show because I love that it makes everybody feel welcome, and it surprises people that they are listening to music that they maybe didn't know that they would enjoy. So I feel like it's part of my responsibility as a musician to bring new music to people and to expose people to things. So it's my pleasure.
Tell us, just before we wrap this up, how did you and your husband meet?
We met at the University of Colorado in Boulder in music school. He was getting his piano degree and I was getting my degree in vocal performance. And he remembers me, first time he ever remembers seeing me was in history class, and I was crying because I was homesick. So I was the girl crying in history class, and we ended up becoming friends through choir. And he proposed on our four-year anniversary, and we've been married for 7.5 years. So we have a very happy, long relationship so far.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jessica Medoff-Bunchman. She's performing tomorrow night at the Rio Grande Theater at 7:30. It's called Jessica and the Bohemians, and as she explained, she and her husband, Michael Bunchman, are one half, and the other half are the young artists. They are also performing, I think, this weekend as part of an award-winning concert in El Paso, the Georgiana Davanelos Young Artist Concert. That's Sunday at 7:30 at the First Baptist Church. And I think that's also maybe songs from La Boheme. And then La Boheme, April 10th and April 12th at the Abraham Chavez Theater. Presented in English and Spanish supertitles.
I just
saw that the press release.
Yeah, if you've never been to an opera and you're thinking you might want to check it out, La Boheme is hands down the best first opera to go see. It'll get you hooked.
Yeah, absolutely. Music of Puccini and unforgettable music. Thank you so much for coming in, Jessica.
My pleasure. Thank you.